The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, this is the Magic Man, and you're watching my homeboy, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Joining us to give the people what they want today is Kenny the Jet Smith. Thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you today because we have some big news in college basketball. High-ranked prospect McCore Maker has decided not to go to North Carolina like you, not to go to Kentucky, not to go to Louisville, not to go to the Power 5 Conference, not to go to UCLA. He is committed to go to Howard University. Do you think this could start a trend where more prospects go to HBCUs?
I think that, you know, if you're a prospect and you say, well, I'm only going to be somewhere for 5 months, it really doesn't make a difference a lot of times. You know, obviously, you know, he's a top five recruit. His family, he's got a pedigree of basketball in his family. But, you know, most of these guys, Jalen, they're not like even you. You guys are, you know, 5'5" and all that. You guys stayed more than 1 year. These guys are only in a university for 4 months out of a year. That's it. And they're gone. And a lot of them never see spring classes ever. So now I'm not surprised, especially with the social unrest and not justice going on. This might be a trend for sure.
How do you feel like this decision and potentially Mikey Williams long term with the G League trying to get a situation in order, paying players more, and obviously prospects going overseas? How do you think this is going to impact collegiate basketball?
You know, there is such a narrow gap between college basketball greatness and not anymore. You know, even we see the tournaments in the past years, teams that make the Final Four. So the only difference, the biggest difference, obviously, from a Howard, from a North Carolina, Kentucky, is the facilities, for one. You know, the facilities inside the arena, the facilities to work out. But across the board, you have great coaches in a lot of places. So coaching you can get. Competition, if it continues, then you get to be competitive against the same type of competition that you're going to face in 4 months. But when guys were jumping from high school to the pros, the competition level in high school is nowhere near a pro. So that 4 months, man, it's not much of a difference.
Kenny, I just realized that you were flexing your Emmys behind you in the background. Why'd you have to do that to us, Kenny? Why'd you have to do that to us?
I get itchy. See that piano back there? Yeah. All black people get rich and buy pianos and never play.
I can't play. Play?
Hey, Jalen. I'm the only one in the house who doesn't play. I probably been on this piano five times.
And you bought it.
And I bought it. But all the kids, they know how to do it. But I don't.
It looks like we are going to have NBA basketball in Orlando in the bubble, restarting it. We all know the format. Now, Jalen has changed his championship pick from the Lakers to the Clippers because of the lack of Avery Bradley in Orlando. So very simple question for you. Who is your championship favorite in Orlando?
I'm going to take the average weight of the team divided by 12, and whoever is closest to 215, that wins. Because I don't know who's got out of shape. Like, this has been 4 months. I'm not going to name names, but there are players that call I'm talking to, and they go, I'm like, hey, what you doing? This is doing early in the pandemic. He's like, I live in a penthouse apartment in New York, or I live in a penthouse apartment in this city. I don't have access to nothing. So to me, the guys who've had access throughout these 3 months have a clear advantage. I go for younger teams, Jalen. I go like Milwaukee and Denver and Boston, those teams who are young and experienced. You know, those guys, they train differently to get ready than a LeBron. You know, like LeBron's teams typically rise and ascend throughout the year. These guys, when you're young, Jalen, when you're, I don't know about you, but your first 4 years in the league, you train like it was for the finals day one. That's how I did it. Where LeBron, yes. If I my fifth, seventh year in the league, I'm like, no, I'm gonna ease into this.
Ease into
you can't
it.
Ease in, no. You can't ease in this. You dropped in the middle of like, let's go. 4 months is a long time, man.
How do you feel players being in a bubble in Orlando while the fight for social injustices is happening in our society? How do you think that will impact their mobility to continue to let their voices be heard?
Well, I would say for, you know, I understand 100% what Kyrie Irving was saying. It made a, like when I first heard, I was like, man, that makes a lot of sense, you know, not playing social injustice. But I also know that there are guys like Montrezl Harrell whose voice is bigger when he's playing. I would like to know what he's doing. I would like to know what he thinks. I would like to know how he could, you know, impact society, because I think the movement of social injustice didn't start with any celebrity or any sport figure. It started, you know, throughout this pandemic, the awareness of it more in this recent times, starting in the pandemic, and no celebrity or no basketball player, football player was the leader of this cause. No knee was knelt. You know, I think so now, I don't think that it will stop because basketball is stopped. I think it could be a bigger voice. And because, Jalen, if we put the salaries, and Jacoby, if we put the salaries of the NBA together, it's the richest, most wealthiest group of African-American men in the world. So they should have the biggest voice now. And I call it the Paul Revere syndrome. Like, I think it was like, the British are coming. Like, oh, social injustice, that's been said. But there was a group of people who said, okay, when they come, what are we gonna do? That's what the NBA could be. Okay, now that we are aware, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to donate money. This is our time and resources to these causes to get it done.
That's a really good point, Kenny. One of the things that's been discussed while this is all happening around the NBA is having more people in front office positions, head coaching positions, and potentially ownership positions that are Black. Do you think we will see that soon?
I think it definitely needs to be proportionate. You know, we can't have disproportion like we have in the jail systems. We can't have disproportion in terms of ownership. We can't have disproportions in terms of, general managers. We can't have disproportion in terms of coaching in any sport that we're prevalent in or playing in. So it's proportionate. No one's asking for more, just with the proportionate rate should be the same. You can't have a disproportionate rate of people that are African-American in jail. When you don't have it, you just can't have it. So that means that it's a systematic thought process that's not working. And that's what we're asking for. We're not asking for all lives to matter. We're asking for proportionate rates. That's it.
It's a really good
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
You can always get
and for those that
content.
Try to hijack the term Black Lives Matter, I want to put a word at the end of it for you guys so you don't get confused. Just add the word two, Black Lives Matter two, if you get confused. I'm sorry, Jacob.
You can always get exclusive content with Kenny Smith and us on the podcast where he will tell us about the Jet Academy. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we've been saying this for years that the Washington football team will change their name and logo, and looks like it's going to happen. They announced they're going to do a thorough review of the team name. Well, guess what? I can perform that review right now. Look at it, read it, it's racist, reviewed. What do you think, Jalen Rose?
Our show has been at the forefront of acknowledging the fact that while we will represent the fact that there's a team that plays football in the NFL in Washington, We haven't used that term for a decade on this program, and our supporters, I'm pretty sure, appreciate that. It's time. It's a seminal moment in our country. But Jacoby, I want to throw a caution flag out there. I looked down at my phone since the tragic murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, Tamir Rice, the list goes on and on and on, Eric Garner, and I see corporate America figuring out ways to make change systematically for racism. But you know what I also see? Letters, checks, and lip service. Let's keep score and see if these companies actually do it. And the reason why I bring that up is because Dan Snyder is being forced to change the name. Mm-hmm. He clearly let us know he didn't want to do it. You know why he's doing it? Because his sponsors of about $620 billion, one of them being FedEx, is basically standing on the table forcing his hand. It's not being done because it's genuine or the right thing to do.
Yes, it's taken way too long and it's happening for the wrong reasons. It shouldn't take this sort of like financial motivation to change this name. But it's not just this name, it's other names in sports too. The Cleveland baseball team, the Atlanta baseball team, so on and so forth. All of those need to change, and I feel like they will change soon. We move on to an exciting development in the NFL. Cam Newton being the quarterback for the New England Patriots. He posted this on social media. A lot of people were discussing his low salary. And he said at the bottom, "This is not about money for me. It's about respect." Jalen, what does he mean by that?
You know I'm rooting for Cam and I'm rooting for Jameis. Because anytime combined, they make less money than multiple quarterbacks in the league that we don't know who they are and don't have the resume, that makes Cam in a position to basically be excellent for the New England Patriots. I'm anticipating that. And you know what else I'm anticipating, Jacoby? He's only going to be there one season. Cam Newton, in my opinion, is going to be with the Patriots one season. He's going to reclaim his value. They never had to truly invest in Tom Brady. I don't believe they will truly invest long-term in Cam. So this is his bridge, along with the Patriots, since they lost Tom Brady, to play one season with them. That's all it's going to be.
That's a good point. I never considered that. But if you look at the AFC, I think Cam Newton will up his value as an NFL quarterback, reestablish himself as a true top-tier starter. However, with the skill players around him, he's not going to make a run deep into the playoffs in the AFC, if there are playoffs. Like, so then after this season's over, his value will be high. The success he had with the team will be moderate, so that New England will look at him and say, you know what? Maybe this is the time where Jared Stidham finally gets to play. Moving on, Jalen, the NFL is trying to support the fight against social injustice. And one of the ways they're going to do so is to play the song Lift Every Voice and Sing before every game in week one. Jalen, what do you think about this sort of curious move by the NFL?
As we continue to make changes in our country, I want people to remember how they felt when Colin Kaepernick chose to do a peaceful protest before football games. And if you are in an uproar, you clearly, number one, have never really listened to the national anthem or don't know some of the words and the verses in that song have been omitted for a reason. And number two, the NFL, so far behind in social justice, finally catches up here and they do the right thing. They played it safe, Jacoby. We're not going to alienate the fans that feel disrespected by somebody protesting during the national anthem. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to eliminate it. We're just going to eliminate it. It's one thing not to show it on TV because that's what networks are going to do because they don't want to show people protesting. But it's another thing wholeheartedly to just not play it. And so for the players, NFL, don't believe that they won't take a knee when they hear lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. They still gonna be taking a knee, a large part of your league.
We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Give the people what they want.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I want to thank Kenny Smith for coming through. We did about 20 minutes on the podcast with him. You can get that exclusive content where he tells stories about playing for Bill Russell. But right now, we're going to turn our attention to another coach, Coach Ed Orgeron of LSU Tigers. We're all doing what we can to stay in shape during the quarantine. And check out what Coach O is up to. He's fighting. Jalen, what do you think about Coach O with the boxing gloves on in the squared circle?
I like Coach O in that video of him running down the street. I love that he's a head coach and he's staying in shape. But that video gives me life right there. I'm motivated right there. Somebody with bad knees and tendonitis, that motivated by that right there.
I like it because he reminds me of myself. Really skinny limbs, but a sort of a big middle section. Again,
and he reminds me of myself because he's running like he's about to fall over.
And he reminds me of me because he's sweating. We'll be back on Monday at 4 o'clock on ESPN. Dan Le Batard, Highly Questionable, is up next.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
We always say we get the people they want. Part of that is exclusive content for the podcast. We are lucky enough to be joined by LaFrac City's own Kenny the Jet Smith today. What is the Jet Academy?
The Jet Academy is the first virtual basketball academy right now for kids. I'm looking through COVID. I'm looking at social distancing. My basketball camp was canceled. My son and my daughter can't go to any camps. I was like, that shouldn't stop his development to make his junior high school team. And that shouldn't stop his development or her development. So I just put together the first virtual camp. What separates it to me and differentiate it, it's live. Live, and I have Kemba Walker, Trey Young, Victor Oladipo, MVP Breonna Stewart, Brittany Griner, all live, and they personally instruct you for 2 hours every day, even it's when they're inside the bubble, some of them. So just to give you an opportunity to still do what you want, and it works on any device, long as you have cellular or Wi-Fi, any device, anywhere, live. I host it every week, and just go to jetacademycamp.com and just sign up. And Big Shaq, I got to shout out my man Shaq. He said the first 10,000 kids that sign up, $35 off, courtesy of him. He's gonna sponsor $35 off the first 10,000 kids. Just put in a discount code, Big Shaq, jetacademycamp.com.
And I look at list of billionaires. When are they going to put Shaq on that list? He in every commercial. I know he got to be close.
Jalen, you got to be close. He's the most insightful marketing mind I've ever seen in my life. So this is how the Big Shaq coach started with the Jet Academy. He calls me back in the morning. And he only FaceTime. He never calls me. He's all FaceTime. So he's like, 1 o'clock. So now I'm like grabbing a shirt, like, because I don't know who he's with. So I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, yo, I just saw your Jet Academy thing. That's a great idea. Let me take over. I'm like, what do you mean? You want to be in it? He's like, no, let me do the marketing. Do a Big Shaq code. Give $35 off. First he said 34 because it's uniform. And he's like, no, 35 is a better number. So 35, and then anybody signs up, the first 10,000, I do. And he hangs up. That's all he said. And then Jalen, I text him back because I was like, are you serious? He's like, no, let me do this. Big Shaq code, watch how many kids you get. I was like, all right, there it is. But he is a billionaire for sure. But he just doesn't tell everybody.
Absolutely. Can you give some sort of description of what you anticipate this looking like? So say I'm 12 years old, I want to participate in the Jet Academy. Do I need my laptop? Do I need my phone? Is it a certain time of day? How do I participate?
Well, to do it live, it's going to be 9 a.m. Pacific time live. But you can still watch it again. But once you sign up, you get a link. You press on that link. It takes you straight to it on any device. You could be anywhere. You could be in your garage. You could be in your park. You could be at a gym. And you're going to see myself hosting, and I'm going to be like, oh, Trey, we're doing ball handling today. You know, what are we going to do? And we go through the drills, and you do them side by side with him. Then if you got a question, you just go on, because I wanted it to be the way they consume information. They tweet, Instagram Live, Facebook Live. I wanted to, so they just ask you a question. Oh, I see it. I answer it. oh, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. I'm going to upload this video, and in 48 hours, we answer it. So it's the same way that they are accustomed to consuming information. I have a good friend, Guy Osiri. He's partners with Ashton Kutcher. He helped me with the technology, getting me with the right people. And then this technology is like first of its kind, but that's the experience, Jalen. It's like, Jalen Rose would be my coach for 2 hours. That you can't put a price on. I told Kemba, I said, he has that pullback move where he's making everybody fall.
Yeah, he do.
I said, you got to show everybody that. He's like, oh, no problem. I said, but you got to tell everybody when and why you use it. And he goes, if I see Patrick Beverly log on, I'm stopping. He's like, I'm right in the middle. If I see a name, Pat Beverly, come up on that screen, I'm logging on.
So one of the things I want to discuss with you is something that I'm very excited about seeing again, and that is Zion Williamson on a basketball court, because I've never really experienced a player like him. I mean, forget the player comparisons, just his athleticism and his size and his abilities and his passing. What do you expect from him as an NBA player moving forward?
You know what? I've seen it, and I've actually played against this guy, and when I say his name, you're going to realize it. He's a much better basketball player because of his ball handling, but he's Julius Peppers. Remember when Julius Peppers played at the University of North Carolina?
Yes.
He was built like Zion. He was playing like jumping out the gym, but he just didn't have the skill set of Zion. So I seen it. And I always told Julius, I was like, Julius, you know you're like Dennis Rodman with a little better offense. If you want to play in the NBA, you could possibly be one of the top players. That's what it looks like. That type of body in the NBA, running full speed, jumping out the gym, but now – you know, a lot more ability. Left-handed. I was like, that's Julius Peppers there right now. Like, there he is. One of the top NFL players of all time.
One of the greatest sack men of all time representing Carolina Blue. How about another young superstar in the league, Ja Morant, added 12 pounds going into the quarantine. Do you feel like he's done enough to wrap up Rookie of the Year? And do you feel like Memphis is going to hold on to that eighth spot in the West?
No, this is a new year, Jalen. Jacoby, like for me, our normal season is like, you know, make the playoffs May, June, May. June, July, August, September, you're back. When you come back in your second year after 4 months off, you have a real recollection of what the league does. You have a memory now. He's had 3.5 months off. This is like his second season. Don't think that this is the same Ja Morant coming back. This is the guy who's in his second year being dropped in, and he's going to only play a month and a half. His improvement from what we've seen to now is going to be dramatic. And I think that he has a clear advantage going in. Guys like that will have a clear advantage going into their second year now, and guys going into their third year. That's why I like some of these young teams to actually overcome some of these veteran-laden teams, because they're not the same player. Jalen, I don't know if I wasn't the same. I averaged like 12 and a half my first year, rookie year in the NBA, and I jumped to 17 a game in my second year. And it was only 3 months. I was off in May, June, July, August. We back in September, October, we playing. And I jumped. What was your jump from your rookie year, and how much time did you have between your rookie year and your second year?
That's a great point, because – my situation was different because my rookie year, I had three coaches. And so my second year with the Nuggets, it was like I was getting minutes as a rookie. But then my second year, it was more like I'm a starter. And it was like you just reminded me of something when you said it, because at first I can't front. I didn't feel like I was ready to be a starter. And then so like that second year, you come back more confident and you always draw back to your best games and you watch them over and over again. And so I agree with you that is going to be something major to watch for with Ja Morant, because I think he's a terrific talent. There are some people that feels like the Zion has a path to win Rookie of the Year. I disagree. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think Zion has the same reference points that he has. Those 3 months, because he only played, I think it was 17 games, but, you know, Ja played so many games, so he's seen the league. So everybody's in that bubble. Ja has seen, he's played against, and you know, he's able to kind of put a scouting report together on them. That's what made me better. I was like, oh, that. Second year, I was like, okay, John Stockton, he's going to do that crossover left to right now. I never saw that before. Okay, Gary Payton, he's going to do the back down. Okay, when he's back. So you had a recollection to make you go into your second year, become a better scorer, a better defender, and then you plant 3 months. If I had 3 months every year to stop and start again, my second 3 months, man, look, I ain't gonna lie. I think it would have been ugly for me. I think it would have been a great situation for me to stop like this, even though, you know, obviously no one was affected by COVID in their families. This is actually a blessing for some of those young players.
So, Kenny, while we're discussing coaches that you had early in your career, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. What was it like playing for Bill Russell?
Man, I got a million. I could write a Bill Russell book only because of this. The first
– give me
day,
some.
Check this out. So, the first – So, the first week in practice, our first road trip, he goes, Kenny, you got to sit next to me on every bus ride and every plane. And I'm like, you know, everybody's playing cards in the back.
Like it was punishment.
So I'm like, coach, man, he gets up in the plane, in the middle of the plane, he goes, do you want to be losers like them, or do you want to be a champion like me?
Wow.
He's pointed at every player. He's a loser. Do you want to be a champion like me? And you sit next to me, you'll know what champions think. But really, he just loves to talk, too. So we never went to sleep any flight. But for the 40 games that he coached, we talked all the time, every single flight, all flight long.
That's awesome.
Laughing and cackling. And I just heard every Boston Celtics story. I heard every civil rights story, him and Malcolm X, him and Martin Luther King. And I was arguing with him one day, guys, about the influx of – that's when the influx of European players were coming in. And I'm like, coach, you telling me there's not a guy in Alabama that's just as good as the dude you're going over to see in Serbia? And he got real upset. And I'm like, coach, what you upset about? He's like, because as a black man, you should never argue about inclusion. And I was like, whoa. So all different. Jalen, it's like that was – it was like sitting next to like a surreal spiritual moment every time I sat next to him. And every time I see him, you know – he gives me the finger. That's his favorite thing, as you know. On that, and he gives me a big hug. It's like I've never called a coach dad because I never disrespected my own father or what he did for me in my life. But he was the closest thing to the thought process of a dad when I played for him. So that was a great observation. Bill Russell, shout out to the legend, man. To the legend. I got my Bill Russell, and then. This is how great I think our relationship was, and I didn't know. His statue in Boston, they have to, you know, his Celtics out front. Mm-hmm. He asked me to host it.
Wow. So I hosted. That is crazy.
I only played for him for 40 games.
I know you guys were together for like 4 months.
Right. I hosted the ceremony to unveil his statue at the Boston Garden. Man, I was like, I said,
awesome.
Okay, I meant to him what he meant to me then. I was like, he felt the connection that I felt. I'm so happy, man. So that's one of my favorite people in the world.
So we all were stuck in quarantine, and I, like John Morant, also put on 12 pounds, but we don't have to discuss that. But what we all did was we all watched The Last Dance. And we all celebrated the career of Michael Jordan. I'm so happy that a younger generation got exposed to that didn't get to see him play. But you said your Houston Rockets would have beaten Michael Jordan's Bulls. Do you really believe that?
100%. I think there's a couple reasons why. You know, now regular season's different, but I will say the first three championships they won, three in a row. When we played them, it's regular season. We were 6-1 against them in those three championship years. They only beat us once in 3 years. And then we started adding Sam Cassell and Robert Horry. Our perimeter speed and obviously Akeem. That's the main reason, Akeem. Okay, let's say Michael's different in the playoffs, they might have won. But what most people forget, he was wearing number 45 that second year, but we ain't even gonna go there. When he got 55 in the Garden, nobody said he wasn't back. But anyway, but that it wasn't Michael's. He's the best player that I've ever seen in my life in the history of the game. But his teams weren't the best those 2 years. People forget Horace Grant was in Orlando and Dennis Rodman was still in San Antonio. They were too little. The teams weren't good. Michael was still the best player, but those were the teams that weren't as good. And the fact that they didn't have those two players, they couldn't have handled Hakeem inside. And Phil Jackson had a thing, I think, where he didn't double team Hakeem. So Hakeem would go wild. Then about third or fourth quarter, they'd start doubling him. And then we start splashing him. So one, you'd have to win 8 straight without injury. You'd have to, and without Scottie Pippen being mad about his contract. So you'd have to win 8 straight. And then you would have had to, so they would have had to put someone in the place of Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman earlier. Because that team that they lost to in Orlando was because, not because Michael was back for 17 games, I thought, it's because they were too little. They were just too little for Shaq. And so he just dominated. Penny would post up. They just dominated. We swept that team they lost to. We swept them 4-0. Mm. That team wasn't good enough. Not Michael wasn't good enough. That team wasn't good enough.
And also, and I appreciate your humility.
So, no, they
humility.
Wouldn't have won. They would not have beat the Houston Correct. Rockets. Let's get close.
I agree with you. And here's the thing. The Bulls' starting team was different than their closing team. They didn't want to play those bigs. Cartwright, Winnington, Luke Longley. They were just out there for fouls and size and physicality. And so, at the end of the game, Tony Kukoc would be in up front a lot of times as their tallest player. Hakeem Olajuwon would have destroyed them.
No, he did.
I
That's
agree
why
with
we
Kenny.
Would beat them in the regular season because he did. They would have guys like him guarding him, switching off on him, and Jalen. It was just too much. It was. I was like, are they serious? They're gonna have, you know, their biggest guy, I think, at the time was even Stacey King, who was an offensive player, not a defensive player. You know, Cliff
and he
Livingston.
Was big in a different way.
Right. Cliff Livingston, 6'8". Those guys couldn't handle him inside. And he would offensive – the difference, too. Hakeem wasn't a scorer or a defensive – he was an offensive rebounder, too. He used to hit the offensive glass. And so we're getting second and third opportunities all the time for a guy who's shooting over 55% from the field. That was the difference, even when we beat the Spurs. David Robinson couldn't keep Hakeem off the offensive glass.
Well, Kenny, we've already taken up way more time than you already committed to. But we could talk hoops with you all day. I want to thank you for all the entertainment you give us with Inside the NBA, your great legendary NBA career, and everything you do with the Jet Academy. Thank you for your time. We look forward to having
Jet,
you back.
A legend.
I'm gonna end on a strange note. We talked about the JetAcademyCamp.com, all that. Not even strange, but a fun note. Because I'm going to be the one, and it might go over a lot of people's heads, that I'm going to be the one who makes some Fab Five guys the best friends again. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the mediator to make that happen. Because there's two guys, I see a lot, and I love, and the other one, I know who he is just by seeing him. I'm going to be the mediator to make that happen. Because the other, one of the guys I see a lot, and it makes no sense. That's black excellence. Those two guys
yes,
are
sir.
Black excellence. So we need those two guys to be unified in one thing. So number four, right? Number four?
Yes.
I'm coming at you. We need black excellence yes. between you two guys. We need it.
Yes, sir.
We need to see y'all.
Yes, sir. And Jacobian, for all of our listeners out there, that's why you need quality OGs. Kenny's exactly right. There is no reason C-Web and I shouldn't be seeing eye to eye. You'll be proud, Kenny, that we've exchanged a few texts and we were in the process of linking up and then the quarantine happened. So I'm going to make sure I keep you in the loop because I love and appreciate that you care so much to make sure that we're seeing eye to eye.
Man, you don't even know this. But you and the Fab Fly have influence in my home, like the style, the swag. So when you guys are not connected, it fans like myself, and I'm this close, makes me feel like something's missing. I'd love to see you guys in doing this right now. And then here, I'd be like this. What story am I about to tell? Like, I want to hear that. I want to be Black excellence, brother. Y'all two need to be together. That's all I'm going to say.
Done and done.
See, Webb, I'm
done,
coming for you. Say no more. All right.
Dope.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Man, Jalen, so nice to have Kenny the Jet Smith on. You know, I swear, I feel like we just talked to him for 4 minutes, even though it was 30, and I could talk to him for 40 days. I understand why Bill Russell was like, you have to sit next to me on the plane, because he's that engaging to talk to. And also, he wanted someone to listen. It is 4th of July weekend, a 4th of July like none other in the history of our nation. Everyone, I want to make sure that you stay safe, wear your mask, don't be in big crowds, and eat good. Chef Jalen, what is on the menu for this weekend? Will you celebrate?
I'm glad you asked that question, sir, because tomorrow morning I'm going grocery shopping, and I'm that dude, when I cook and I grill, I need to buy the food that day. I'm a diva like that. I need to buy the food that day. That's how much I'm into it. So here's what's
exciting.
On the menu.
Oh, okay.
Here's what's on the menu. I decided jerk chicken wings. Not just the flats or the drums. I'm talking about the whole wing. The whole wing.
I like that. Yeah.
Right? The whole wing.
That, even with that little tip on it.
Little burn. Yeah, burn that tip. You know, I'm going to have some jerk wings. And I'm going to tell you guys something. When you're in the kitchen, the best secret weapon to any grilling, cooking, or any meal that you're trying to make is potatoes.
What?
Potatoes. Just what? Think about how many ways we consume them. Twice baked, fries, curly fries, steak fries, on and on. Baked potato game is crazy. So, I'm going to have some baked potatoes. And you know what they're going to have? Butter, sour cream, bacon.
Scallions.
Not a lot of cheese. Don't do well with my stomach. Also on the menu, I decided king crab legs.
You're really speaking my language.
With my special seasoned rub sauce. And I'm going to school you guys on how to actually hook up your king crabs. First off, you got to take some time and energy. Jacoby, you know I'm patient. And when we go to Hooters and I order king crab, what do I do?
He opens up all of the crab legs, puts all of the meat on one plate, all of the shell on another plate, and then asks the server to reheat the crab meat and then eats it all at once. It's one of the more psychotic idiosyncrasies of Jalen's life, and there are lots of them, but this is a weird move. When you give hand the plate of meat to the server and say, can you reheat this? She goes to the kitchen. I'm sure the dude in the kitchen is like, wait, what?
Looking at me like I'm crazy.
Like, he wants me to, what?
Well, that's why I frequent places, and that's why I tip well. So now that guy knows me. He may recognize me for being some celebrity, but he knows me for being a good tipper and a good customer. And so he's going to hook me up. So we got the rub king crabs. You got the Jamaican jerk whole wings, the baked potatoes, and you know what else I'm going to hook up? A little macaroni salad. You like that? You like macaroni salad?
No, not really. I mean, if it's there, I will take a little, it'll take a little portion of my plate just to have a couple spoonfuls, like a little taste of it. But no, macaroni salad is not, I'm not spending
so
any
you're
time
not
to
into,
make macaroni and salad.
You're not into like macaroni salad or coleslaw.
I love coleslaw. No, those are two different things. I love coleslaw.
Okay.
Love coleslaw.
Okay.
A lot of pepper
have you
on it.
Ever,
I've never had too much pepper on my coleslaw.
I'm going to make you something.
Why are you pointing
when
at
you
me
come
like
to the crib with the kids, If you love coleslaw, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna make you. I'm gonna make you a Reuben. I'm gonna make you a Reuben with coleslaw on it.
Oh,
I and some Russian dressing.
I like the sound of that.
I got you.
Well,
toast that, Jaylen, grill that bread. I put everything on the grill. I might put a human being on the grill. Here's
one thing I like to do is if I have something like corn or crab legs, which is traditionally boiled, what I will do is I will basically parboil it and then put it on the grill. So I will cook it in, like, I will take the corn and boil it till it's like 75% cooked and then put it on the grill. That way it doesn't get dry from the grill, but it gets that nice grill char and taste. So like I'll do the same thing with the crab legs, is boil it till it's almost cooked and then put it on the grill to get the grill flavor, but you don't get the grill dryness.
And for you seafood lovers, I got one more tip. Before, when you take your lobster out of the freezer or your crab, you gotta allow it to de-thaw 100%. I know sometimes you want to cheat the process. You feel like you're gonna put it in the oven. You feel like you're gonna put it in the microwave. It just makes your lobster a little soggy. It makes it it ain't as good. It ain't as good. Oh, you gotta let it thaw 100%.
Can I be a diva for a second? I don't like defrosting meats. Like, my wife is always like, oh, we'll just throw it in the freezer. I call it zombie chicken. Oh, you're gonna give me some zombie chicken? And again, this is first world problems. But like, I live a block away from the grocery store. You know, I don't want zombie steaks because I can taste it. It's different.
That's what I just was saying. It's just different. I go to the market before I cook.
I'm a block away. I understand this little line there. You can use the app. Use the app. You know, Fairway app. You can check out yourself. You can get out of there. But I don't want any zombie food. Man, I want to thank Kenny Smith for coming by. He was such a great guest. Everyone stay safe this 4th of July. Don't get together in large groups. Don't spread the virus, man. So sacrifice your 4th of July weekend so we can have school back. Sacrifice a little bit this summer so we can get back to normal this fall. Please, please, please. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Jaylen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.